From the very moment when personal prelatures were promoted by the Second Vatican Council, there have been two ways of interpreting them. As a pastoral structure of personal order composed of priests and lay people under the direction of a prelate, with limited or universal scope. As an association of priests gathered around a prelate to serve with their ministry in a territory, in which lay people could collaborate externally. The Opus Dei requested to be established as a personal prelature in the first manner, and both the Pope and the Congregation of Bishops officially endorsed this interpretation on November 28, 1982. 2 months later, on January 25, 1983, Pope John Paul II promulgated the new Code of Canon Law. At the last moment, two changes were made in the wording. Personal prelatures were moved from Book 2, The People of God, Title 2, The Hierarchical Constitution of the Church, Section 2, Particular Churches and Personal Prelatures, to Title 1, The Christian Faithful, Section 4, Personal Prelatures. Additionally, in Canon 296, which regulates the relationship of the laity with personal prelatures, the word incorporation was replaced with organic cooperation. Both modifications aimed to avoid confusion between personal prelatures and particular churches, a confusion that is impossible in the case of Opus Dei since its members continue to depend on their bishop, just like other faithful of the diocese. Their spiritual, formative, and evangelizing commitments with the prelature complement, not replace, those they have with the local ordinary. Both John Paul II and Cardinal Ballo, the prefect of the Congregation of Bishops, assured Alvaro that these changes did not alter the nature of personal prelatures. This confirmation was solemnly reiterated a couple of months later during the inauguration and official presentation of Laud on March 19, 1993, at the Basilica of San Eugenio in Rome. In the years following Opus Dei's establishment as a personal prelature, there were documents and actions by the Pope and the Holy See confirming its jurisdictional character. For instance, John Paul II ordained both Don Alvaro and his successor Don Javier Echeverria as bishops. The Pontifical Yearbook placed information about the prelature within the hierarchical structure of the Church. In 1996, the First Degree Tribunal of the Prelature was established, serving as the prelate's judicial authority. The Holy See informed states seeking civil recognition about the juridical personality of the prelature. The prelate issued laws and decrees for its members, both clergy and laity, published in the prelature's official bulletin called Romana. However, some scholars, like Jesuit Gianfranco and Olanda, a professor of canon law at the Gregorian University, and Paulino Giancarlo Rocca, continued to perceive personal prelatures as associations of priests united around a prelate to serve with their ministry in a specific region or worldwide. In recent months, Pope Francis has issued three decrees adopting this position, signifying a shift in the understanding of personal prelatures that the Holy See had expressed over the past 40 years. Firstly, the Apostolic Constitution Praedicate Evangelion, issued on March 19, 2022, for the reform of the Roman Curia, transferred the competence over personal prelatures from the Dicastery for Bishops to the Dicastery for the Clergy. Secondly, the Motu Proprio Charisma Tuendum, released on July 14, 2022, mandates the prelate to annually present a report about the prelature's situation and apostolic work to the Dicastery for the Clergy. It also specifies that the prelate won't receive or be eligible for episcopal ordination, but will be granted the title of Reverend Monsignor, along with distinctive insignia. Thirdly, the Motu Proprio for the Reform of Personal Prelatures, issued on August 8, 2023, introduces changes to Canons 295 and 296, assimilating personal prelatures to public clerical associations of pontifical right. These prelatures are entrusted to a prelate as a moderator, endowed with the faculties of an ordinary. The previous relationship regarding organic cooperation of the laity is maintained, with an additional reference to Canon 107, which concerns the residence of the pastor and ordinary. The substantial novelty of these documents is the assimilation of personal prelatures to clerical associations, a development that appears legally problematic. Firstly, the term prelature in canon law signifies the jurisdictional scope of a prelate. Secondly, personal implies that this scope is defined by personal criteria, not territorial ones. Thus, the notion of personal prelatures as associative entities conflicts with their canonical definition. Moreover, this interpretation contradicts the conciliar decree, which proposed personal prelatures for the suitable distribution of priests and for carrying out distinct pastoral works with various social groups. Both of these tasks correspond to jurisdictional entities, not clerical associations. This recent interpretation has been rejected by the majority of theological thought and by authoritative documents from Pope John Paul II and the Congregation of Bishops. These documents constitute authentic interpretations of the law. Perhaps a more comprehensive dialogue and argumentation are needed, in line with the synodal spirit, similar to the process between 1979 and 1982 that led to the Apostolic Constitution and the Declaration on Personal Prelatures by the Congregation of Bishops. The underlying legal ambiguity suggests that this is not just an academic discussion among legal experts but rather a manifestation of long-standing theological disagreements. These debates are rooted in different ways of addressing two fundamental questions. Whether the Church has received from Christ the power to organize itself solely based on territorial criteria or also on personal ones to address specific groups or pastoral tasks. In other words, whether personal entities can be part of the hierarchical structure of the Church. Whether the specific vocation is only the one embracing the evangelical councils or any path that represents a particular realization of the general call to holiness received through baptism. In essence, whether there is a specific vocation to sanctify through secular realities. These are classical theological debates, and it's important to seek the guidance of the Holy Spirit to enlighten theologians in their exploration and the magisterium, if necessary, to provide guidance. In this historical moment, it is urgent for the Church to resolve its self-referential issues and focus on the unprecedented challenge of evangelizing a post-Christian world.